Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning,
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning,
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, this is
Radio.
Maverick.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Blog Talk Radio. Good Margaret is the voice of Black Women in Construction. And this morning we have with us Lyme Schultz as our guest. As you understand, my name is Sharon Jackson, and I believe that we have a number of NABWIC members on the line. Ann McNeil, the president of NABWIC, is on the line. Would you please introduce NABWIC for us and this morning's show?
Thank you, Sharon. This is Ann McNeil, the master builder building stronger and better lives. And you are listening to NABWIC Talks. We are the voice of Black women in construction. And today, as Sharon has already told you, our special guest is Lyme Schultz from Archer Weston, which is one of the major construction companies in the Florida area. And with that, Sharon, I turn it back over to you, and we're so excited to have Lyme on this morning, and we are waiting to have dialogue with her and learn all about her and her projects and how she got into the construction industry as an African-American female in the construction industry. Thank you.
Okay, Lyme, again, this is Sharon Jackson. Ann has already set the tone. Could you please introduce yourself and give us a little bit of your background?
Hello, good morning, everyone. My name is Lyme Schultz. I currently work with Archer Western on the Sunrail project in Orlando. Quick background, I am Guyanese, born in South America, so I am of West Indian descent. How I got into construction was, I think, in probably 8th grade or so, I took a technical drawing class, and I decided I liked it, and I figured that construction is what I would do. I did not want to become an architect, so I chose engineering, civil engineering, and those are what my degrees are in, civil engineering and master's in construction management. And how I ended up in actually construction was at a career fair. I attended Brooklyn Polytech, now NYU Polytech, and I was a guide for the EEO officer for Skanska in New York, and I happened to be nice to her, and that's what it took. I was nice to someone at a career fair, and that's how I got my first internship and subsequent job with Skanska, and I've now moved on to Archer Western Contractors. So that's how I got into it. I liked technical drawing, I liked engineering, I liked math, and I was nice to someone.
Well, you know what, that's very interesting. Because one of the things that I watch young people in their new careers, and etiquette is very important. It sounds to me like you followed commercial and business etiquette. I really want to get back into, you know, your career, but I just heard something that just struck me down deep in my heart, that it was your business etiquette that made a big difference in launching your career.
That is correct. It's something you have to know how to work with people. You have to know how to be kind, cordial to them. It's not necessarily about what you know. It's how you say things, the people that you speak to, regardless of their status in whichever organization that they're in, because you never know who would be able to help you. So this EO officer. I did not know who she was at the time. She just had to walk a very long way to get to the career fair, and she was very upset when she got there, and no one wanted to speak to her. However, I said, okay, ma'am, I will take care of you. I will make sure everything is taken care of for you. I will make sure you get to your table. I will take care of your lunch, whatever it is that you need. I will take care of you at our career fair today, so you have nothing else to worry about. I want to make this a pleasant experience for you. And that's how it worked.
Wow, isn't that? Now, what was your next step in solidifying your career with her?
It was with the previous company. I was an intern at the time. I graduated from college. They actually allowed me to become full-time before I even graduated, and working my way. I've been on rail projects for most of my construction career. I worked at the JFK Light Rail out in JFK. Then I moved to Atlanta, Georgia, where I started working with Archer Western, working on the Hartsfield-Atlanta Airport SkyTrain. And I worked on some other projects in Atlanta, and now I've moved down to Orlando, and I'm now the assistant project manager on the construction of Phase 1 for SunRail, the station finishes contract.
Now, how did you decide now, or is this a decision you made, or just an unanticipated course in terms of directing your career toward light rail? Is this a trend that you saw that was going to happen,
It just happened to be. I started working on rail projects, and it has just kept me in that direction. And there seems to be a lot of rail that is, especially in Florida, the potential for a lot of rail projects with SunRail, All Aboard Florida, and all the projects that are coming to the Orlando area. So it's just happenstance, I would say, and good for me. Engineering still plays a very big. Say it again.
Absolutely. No, I'm sorry. I interrupted. You got me so excited that I interrupted you. I'm sorry. But
okay.
Tell us what you see coming down the line in terms of your career with rail. How do you? And it's not only just rail, but related to any current trend, there are sectors that are involved that relate. So could you kind of give us an idea about what you see coming down the line in terms of rail and its impact in Florida?
Rail in Florida, Florida is very big. Florida has a lot of space. We do have airports, but rail would be the best way. And Florida started off with the Florida East Coast Railroad, which I think was one of the earliest railroads in the country. People would use it to get from New York to Orlando. And because we have that existing infrastructure, and more importantly, we have the space, everyone, or future developers are seeing that as a viable alternative to another airport, another train route, because Florida is very flat, which makes it for a very scenic route when you're taking a trip. So there are about four projects going on right now. I am currently working on the SunRail Phase 1 project, which takes you from DeLand down to Sand Lake. That the anticipated finish for construction would be sometime later on this year. This is only for construction. SunRail in itself is a very huge program. There are many different parts and components in play. We are working on the construction side for Phase 1. Then there will be the SunRail Phase 2. I'm sure everyone may have heard about All Aboard Florida, which is FEC and some private investors that would bring you from Miami back up the East Corridor and taking 528 to the airport. There is also a connection, a future potential connection from the Orlando Convention Center that will take you to the airport as well. So for Florida, there is a lot of rail opportunity, and in that rail opportunity, of course, it's engineering. There's a lot of dirt work, electrical, all the things that go with it, a lot of building construction for the station. So if you are a future potential engineer, I would say civil engineering, roads, bridges, and buildings are what we do. And the future for rail is very exciting in Florida, and it's something that we intend to use and we intend to take advantage of with Archer Western.
Oh, excellent. And what is, I will relate this story. The experience is so excellent. I sat next to a gentleman from Australia, and he was riding the rail. This was related to the airport. And he said, you know what, this was so enjoyable. I thought I was in Disney World already. So it is not just rail, it is rail with excellence.
Yes, it's the rail. You know, the Orlando has the Orlando experience. It's the rail experience. If you're in a plane, you go up in the sky. You know, the area doesn't change. You see clouds, and you see below the clouds, and you see some rain. Once, if you're driving on rail or riding on rail, you see the landscape as it changes. You see Florida. It's a rail experience, and because Florida, we do have these right of ways that are already in. That are already in hand already, that you don't have to purchase that much, you can use existing infrastructure and to make rail a viable.
Excellent. So do you see, and you may have already said this, I just wanted to make sure, you see the rail going all the way, looking down the road, do you see the rail going from Orlando down to Miami, and did you say that you're already going over to Tampa? Is it going north?
There's a lot of things that I said. I can only tell you what's being spoken about. Miami to Orlando, it looks to be, what we say, coming off of the paper right now. That's in with All Aboard Florida, and that's a private-public consortium that they are going to be taking the lead on that. So that one is definitely a viable project that we can see coming to fruition. Orlando to Tampa is not, it's been spoken about, there is nothing that is concrete quite yet. Another one that is being spoken about is from the Orlando Convention Center and potentially Disney back to the airport. The thought process, I would say, behind all this is to try to make everything connect. Orlando Airport, Disney, the Convention Center, points north and points south, which would be DeBary, DeLand, Fort Lauderdale Airport would be a stop on the All Aboard Florida, and Miami.
Oh, excellent.
The one Archa Western I am currently working on is in Sunrail, which is within the Orlando area. That's taking its, we're trying to ease up some of the congestion on I-4. If we live in Orlando, we all know I-4 and the beauty of driving that it is.
Absolutely.
And we're just
it's
trying to take some
lot.
Of You know, yes, it is. So we are attempting to alleviate some of that. And also, there's the I-4 Ultimate Expansion that is not rail-centered, but it's a almost $2 billion project that involves widening I-4, speed lanes, toll lanes, and such. That is going to bid sometime next year. Archa Western has been shortlisted for that project as well. So there's lots of things, you know, roads to rails. We have you covered in some sense.
Absolutely. Now, you know what's interesting? You mentioned engineering, but your area of expertise, tell us about that a little bit more, because there are different things. You have your specific niche, but tell us more about that. It's not just, there's a lot. This, you know, you have created your niche, and obviously you deal with excellence. Can you talk to us about that?
Sure. My undergrad degrees are an degree. It's in civil engineering. There are many different types of engineering. I picked civil because of the technical drawing and, again, being able to change landscapes. I like civil engineering because we literally come to a place where there's a pile of dirt, and when I leave there 6 months to 3 years later, there's so much underground, and then there's this beautiful structure. And I do find concrete beautiful, even though it's gray and ugly. These things excite me. But these are things you leave, and 5-10 years from now, I can come back and say, you know, I did this. There's, you know, sign structures on the Van Wyck Expressway in New York. I worked when I was a young engineer at night, and I go back and I keep saying, oh, exit 1A, that's the sign I helped put up. Engineering of itself is a basis and a foundation. And you use that to parlay into the type of work that you are. Because my degree is in civil engineering, my career would tend towards the roads, bridges, buildings, water treatment plants, things of that nature. And depending on the way you would like your career to be pursued, you choose. I'm a manager. I can work with people. I know how to work with people. I get them to work for me to do the production that I need. I could have chosen to go into design, which is before everything gets to the construction phase, things have to be designed. It has to go on paper. You have to have you have to be a professional engineer. There are different reports and everything that have to be written. So you can pick, with an engineering degree, you can still choose which venue you choose to go in. I chose to go, and we call that the field route, which is actually working in the construction phase. There's pre-construction and construction. I choose the construction side.
I knew there was a reason why I liked you. My trade and education is in planning. And I tell people, I love reading plans. I love looking at construction plans and talking about developers. So, you know, I share your joy with new construction, but let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
With the railroads, there's so much conversation about our failing systems underneath the ground, the failing systems in terms of over the ground. Do you have to think about that as you are designing the new rail project?
And here's the fun part. I am not a designer. We have engineers and architects with professional engineer licenses that we pay to do that. So the liability of that, I am responsible, or my type of work is responsible for taking that from the drawings and making
uh-huh.
it real, bringing it to the construction phase. So before I even see these drawings, there are different types of projects as well. They're hard bid, they're design build. They're design, bid, build projects, and on the construction side, we come in at various points. However, by the time it gets to me, these projects have already been designed and calculated for, so any infrastructure details would have been taken care of, and that's something you can choose to do as well. You can be an engineer, but you can be on the architect-engineer side of things.
Okay, excellent. So I'm going to ask if you have advice for people. Naturally, one of the things that Ann mentioned when she opened up the show was that NAB is the voice of black women in construction. We have people that participate in construction in every phase of construction and construction-related businesses. Do you have any advice in terms of people participating in a myriad of ways in the different projects that you envision coming down the road?
I would say there are two different aspects that I deal with. Those of us who actually work in construction, we are a general, the prime subcontractor. And for that, with our company, you need to have an engineering degree. I will tell you, it's not easy. I have, you know, many memories of my friends going out to party and, you know, to have a good time, and there I am doing my, you know, structural analysis or concrete materials testing homework. It is hard. We spend lots of hours. We work 10 to 12 hours a day, and that's just the nature of what we do, and you do it honestly because you like it. Because if you were to work out your hourly or whatever rate, it's not too hot. But we do it because we enjoy it. We enjoy bringing things to life. There's another portion of it. And as a black female in construction, I am, you know, there's very few of us in the engineering field.
I want you to have your way with that point. We need to go to a commercial break.
Sure.
And when we come back, I want you to be able to, Ann is going to do the commercial break, Ann McNeil, and I want you to be able to expand on that point because this is going to be very interesting.
Sure.
Thank you. Ann?
Thank you, Sharon. And we just want to let our callers and our listeners know that if you would like to participate in the conversation, just press 1 on your dial pad, and we will open your line to be on the show. But you are listening to NABWIC Talks. We are the voice of black women in construction. We are the National Association of Black Women in Construction. And today we are joined by Liney Schultz
with Archer Western Construction in the Orlando and Tampa area, discussing how she has gone from an internship to a rail expert in the construction industry. So thank you again, Lonnie, and back to you, Sharon.
Thank you. Well, before we went to commercial break, Ms. Lonnie Schultz was getting ready to talk to us about the experience of a black woman operating in this field. Would you continue conversation about this?
Sure, and I've learned to be a very blunt person, so not only am I a black woman, I am a black non-American. I am of West Indian heritage, and so I have a bit of an accent. These are things I have learned to embrace and not let it bother me. If it is that I'm speaking to you, I'm not shy. I'm not shy about who I am. I don't try to be something I'm not. So the first thing that we have to approach or address would be my accent. If I'm speaking to you and I see the head being tilted, I simply ask, am I speaking too fast? Am I speaking too slow? What is it that you don't understand? And if there are things, I said, if there's a question you'd like to ask me, feel free, ask me the question. Or I have to be able to communicate with you because as a manager, if I can't communicate and people don't understand me, then I will be failing at my job. The second thing that comes by, of course, is the respect of your peers and the people you're working with, the people who are working for you and the people you're working for. This is something that I don't feel the need to announce broadly. I let my work speak for itself. You learn the business, I understand the business, and then you get to know me and you understand the strengths and what I bring to the table. I let my work speak for itself. I have an education. That is something that can never be taken from me. I have the foundation, I have the basis, and I have the understanding of construction and working with people. Those are things, no matter what happens, no matter where I go, that is what I have to be able to communicate and convey that to help make, you know, projects that are tens of millions and hundreds of millions work is what my company expects from me, and I produce that for them. So, yes, it starts off as they look at you, and what's she doing here? I've had people ask me for coffee, and I say point blank, I don't know how to make coffee, but if you want to make some for me, go ahead. So it definitely is a challenge. I have worked in Georgia, and that was interesting in itself. I've worked in New York, so I know about the fast-paced environment. I would say it's all about your education and you able to communicate and, you know, not let yes, I am a black woman in construction, yes, but let not that be the end-all be-all. I am an educated person who understands the business of construction and getting people to work to produce the end goal that we are all working for, i.e. getting a project to completion, getting it done.
That was all so important. I think that one of the things that Ann McNeil talked to you about as I listened to your conversation is that NABWIC has implemented and continues to implement internships for young women that are interested in going in construction. And that's why this portion of the program will be played and will be listened to young women going in those fields, young women in various areas of construction. And that is so important for them to hear.
Yes,
now,
you have
talk to us about...
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. No, I think that I see that not only you're a woman that is of excellence, but you set goals. Tell us about that. How did you develop that mindset, and how did you set your goals to get from where you were in school to where you are now?
Goals have to be flexible, and they have to be realistic. And there's a certain amount of work that goes into every goal that you do. I'm going to have a degree in engineering. It takes 4 years. In that 4 years, there are many things that can go wrong financially, home life or whatnot. But once you keep the end goal in mind, this is what I'm working towards. And then, you know, when you graduate from school in engineering, am I going to work for a construction company? And something I would advise all young people to do, do not wait until it is the year you're graduating. You can start looking for an internship as a freshman, as a junior. It can be unpaid. It will go to being paid. Do not worry if you can do not worry about the amount of money you're earning right now. Get in with get in with any firm you can. Go to the career fairs. Ask the questions. Become more, prolific in your resumes and things of that nature. We look at things such as organizations you're involved in. If you're involved in the National Concrete Canoe, that means you know how to work with a team. That means you understand concrete structures. You understand to work with something. You understand how to bring things to life. We look at your exterior, extracurricular activities. If you're in a sorority or a fraternity, or you've worked at a let's say a supermarket, it means you know to work with people. It means you know numbers. It means you know to think independently. Those are characteristics we look for, the building characteristics that would let us know. Not only you are working to your education, but you're also working to becoming a career-oriented person working with people. So it's never too early to start. Never, ever, ever too early to start. You go to the career fair, and you know, you could go to a career fair this year. You don't get an internship. However, they may remember you next year. Oh, I remember you from next year. Maybe it's time now. You know, the way in which you present yourself, the manner in which you speak, your body language, you know. Some things I tell my young engineers, you fake it till you make it. Body language is very important. I'm confident. You don't have a degree. You're going to get a degree. That's an achievement in itself. You're in engineering. So you walk with that pride and that aura about you. And these are things that really cannot be taken from you once you're able to show that to people. It's something that helps you very much. It will help you very much in your career.
I see. We have a few minutes left, but we have a call from the last four digits of your number of 5713. I'd like to open up their line and take a call, if you don't mind. Hello, caller?
Yes, good morning. Thank you. This is Rita Jedala. Thank you for taking my call. Helene, it was very inspiring for what you have, how you have taken all the steps and the right steps and had a positive passion to move all these, go forward and get into the construction industry. One quick question I had was, how is Archer Weston is applying technology in all its projects?
We use, for sharing drawings, shop drawings. We know drawings on a contract are, it's 17 boxes, 24 by 36. We have a system called SharePoint. And we scan all our drawings, and as a company, we have a regional offices in Tampa. We scan all our drawings for future jobs that are being bid, and we allow any contractor to be able to log into that website, and you're able to look at any future projects we're bidding. So you don't have to come to our office to go get the CD or the jump drive to go get the drawings. You're able to look on the website. There's a calendar there. Whatever future jobs we're bidding, any subcontractor can go there, and you can submit to get an invitation to bid, and we can get that. You know, it's very easy. We make that process very seamless for you. On the construction site, all our documents are also scanned to SharePoint. You know, submitting RFIs to the owner, it's normally a piece of paper that goes over to the owner, and then you have to wait for it to come back. There's a SharePoint website. We all share access to that website, so the information transfer and questions are being asked. It's very seamless. In our building and water treatment plant division, it's BIM, Building Information Modeling, which gives you a 3D model of any building you're using. I think we've used it in an airport as well. So we're integrating also the use of iPads. Our, you're out in the field. There's a drawing. You're out in the field. There's a drawing say it's 3 inches or a 4-inch slab. What size rebar are we using? Normally it's I have to go back to my truck. I have to go call someone. Our superintendents are now using, I guess it's called Google Cloud or something like that. The young ones do that for me. And right there on site, my superintendents can pull up on their iPad or their tablet, pull up the drawings, pull up an RFI that may have been answered, and they're able to answer something that would have taken them a day or two. Pull it up right there, and they can answer a question there. Your concrete pour is set to go for today. So we're involving different stages of technology in different parts, and it's all about and us being able to communicate and work faster and convey information. A lot of it is getting the information to the right people and getting questions answered. So that's how we use different versions of the different forms of technology in the company.
Lonnie, excuse me, we literally only have a minute and 30, but there is one more person that would like to get a question in. I'm going to open their mic, and maybe we can do this really quickly. Hello, caller, with the last numbers of 4730. We don't have a lot of time, but I really wanted to try and get your question in.
Hi, this is Jasmine Levitt. I'm a recent graduate from North Carolina State University in construction engineering and management, and I just wanted to see if you had any advice in finding a job in project management or construction management.
And Jasmine made a very good differentiation there. She said project management or construction management. There are companies that actually do construction, and there are companies that are actually managers, which means they subcontract it out. And Jasmine, I would encourage you, there's a lot of research. Again, career fairs at school, I believe, are the best opportunity. You can also go online. Go to, we call them owner projects, and they will tell you who are the project managers, who are the CEIs, who are the general contractors, and you have to look at these, look at the companies that do this kind of work, and then you approach them. You meet them at career fairs. You see if they're hiring. What are their hiring practices? Do they go to colleges? And then you must approach them. And seeing that you have graduated, I would encourage you to give me a call, and maybe I can lend some more advice to that.
And with that, I need to close. We are getting ready to bring our show to an end. This has been a wonderful, wonderful meeting. Thank you so much, Lonnie, for your time, for your talent, and your high energy. I just, I knew that we didn't have a whole lot of time left, but I had to get that young lady's call in. So thank you so much.
Sharon, just before we go, I just want to just make sure that we close by letting our listening audience know that you have been listening to NABWIC Talks. And our special guest again today was Lonnie Schultz, the assistant project manager, and I'm deeming her the rail expert among us all for Archer Western Construction. And Lonnie, you have really blessed us all today, and I'm sitting here and actually immobilized because I am just holding on to every single word you are saying, because it is so encouraging to meet women like you, white, black, green, or yellow, who have done what you're doing in the industry of rail in terms of transportation. Yes. And so it's a huge market in not just the billions, but when you look worldwide, it's literally in the trillions of dollars. So
the United States is actually a little behind when it comes to rail. European countries utilize it to the fullest extent.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes. And I just wanted to just say that before we go, and I know we have a favorite friend who's listening in from Orlando, but she didn't raise her hand like she normally does with questions, so we just want to thank her for calling in also. And Lonnie, thank you, and Sharon, you've done a wonderful job hosting us today. And with that, we're going to go ahead and end the show, and again, you have been listening to NABWIC Talks. We are the voice of black women in construction. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.